Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
I had a habit of praying every night before I go to bed. I pray all the time now. Because I need guidance all the time.
That's the lesson of history, that those who stand with Israel will be remembered through all time. Those who are against Israel, written off to history.
The church has taught for millennia that these promises made to Israel really had their ultimate fulfillment in Christ.
Americans will oppose health care reform if it takes away the coverage they now have for things like abortion, contraception, and for women's reproductive health.
There has been a consensus at the congressional level that taxpayer funds should not be used to pay for elective abortion.
It is again one of those secrets that Christians keep, sometimes even from themselves. And there is this myth that persists, whether you consider yourself one or not, of the super-Christian. At least the Christian should be somehow superhuman. He should not be subject to the weaknesses of mind, body, spirit, emotion. In fact, if you listen to a lot of pop American Christianity, the Christian should be not only perfectly well-adjusted, but perfectly happy, and in every other respect, more or less free from worry. They portray the Christian life as an ideal. Now, of course, if you ask them, they'll say, oh, no. No one really is like that. But if you're a Christian, you should be closer to that than to what everyone else is dealing with, which is anxiety and depression and troubles of mind and spirit and body. We're continuing our three-part daily series on Christians and depression this Tuesday afternoon, July the 28th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. If you'd like to call or email us anonymously on this subject, we'll be happy to take your call or email and honor your wish to remain anonymous, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback at issuesetc.org. In the next half hour of the program, Cantor Phil Magnus will join us. We're going to talk about worship today in our three-part series, part two today, singing the Psalms. It sounds like a small thing. It's actually part and parcel of Christian worship and Old Testament worship for millennia. Pam Fichter will join us in the second hour of the program from Missouri Right to Life. We'll talk about health care reform and taxpayer-funded abortion, two things that appear to be coming at us together. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us for a few minutes to recall and explain a recent story about the dangers of cohabitation. And then Pastor Paul McCain. Today, the church honors 16th century composer-musician Johann Sebastian Bach. Now, he's been called the fifth evangelist. Bach was a great composer of music. Others gave him the words. A lot of the words that ended up in his great works for the church are directly drawn from Scripture. Pastor Paul McCain will join us from Concordia Publishing House to remember, along with the rest of the church, Bach today. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And he's author of the new book, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. Todd, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks.
This idea that the Christian ought to be, if not super Christian, at least superhuman, perfectly adjusted mind, body, and spirit. What is the greatest danger of portraying the Christian life, the everyday Christian life, in that manner, as so much of pop American Christianity does?
Well, the greatest danger is, first of all, it's simply not true. And if you look through the scriptures are full of men and women of God who trusted and who went through all kinds of struggles and doubts. Job, Elijah, Peter, Paul, Mark, Barnabas. I mean, it's hardly even possible to find someone in the scriptures, Noah, that didn't have questions and and doubts. And so this notion that being a Christian means that my life is going to be perfect, or that my problems are going to be gone, is really quite satanic, because what it does is it again puts the focus on you and on what's happening within you, rather than on Christ, who He is, and what He does for you in the forgiveness of sins. That's the chief danger, and that really plays out in a lot of areas. One obvious area, the one that I'm certainly the most interested in right now, is how that messes with people that struggle with mental illness. If you have a mental illness and you have been taught that faith is an emotional state of mind, which I believe is very, very common in modern Christianity. If you've been taught that faith is simply an attitude or a viewpoint, then you're struck with depression, which sucks the life out of you, so that you can't see, you can't feel, you can't do anything. You feel utterly paralyzed. What Satan's going to do is he's going to take that notion that being a Christian means I have this certain kind of mental toughness or whatever. He's going to take that and he's going to mix that in with whatever sort of variety of mental illness you're struggling with, and he's going to use that to try and create doubt and misbelief and drive you to despair, as we pray about in the sixth petition. So that's really the danger, is that this is how Satan's going to try and use it.
Yesterday, you made it quite clear that Christians can and do suffer from depressions at all different levels, and you debunked the idea scripturally that somehow if you're depressed, you cannot be a Christian, or if you're a Christian, you cannot be depressed. There's a more nuanced assertion kind of folded into that that probably is more popular, which is, well, look, Christians can be depressed. But if you are, it shows some sort of spiritual deficiency in you, or it shows that you are perhaps less a Christian than you should be. How do you respond to that more subtle form of the same thing?
And that form, you're quite right, that is very common, which is really sort of the Christian version of the very common misconception about mental illness, that mental illness is the result of a character flaw. What that's saying basically is that mental illness is, if not the result, it's at least revealing a faith flaw, if you will. So those two are two sides of the exact same coin, which are very, very common. I think that the way that I would respond to that, first of all, is getting back to a scriptural understanding of faith, of faith as gift, of faith as trusting in God's promises, and that is given to you by the gospel, by word and sacrament, and that trust may be in the face or contrary to all of your experience. You know, and that is, in a sort of a strange and sick way, that is a great thing about something like depression. And I hesitate to use that term "great thing" because it just seems twisted, but I ultimately believe that's true. With depression, everything is stripped away. There are no feelings. There is no sort of artificial hope. There is no sense of tomorrow in depression. You believe that things will only get worse. And when all of that stuff is stripped away, that leaves a tremendous opportunity for God's word to be at work in your life, giving you healing, giving you hope. But that is a hard thing to wrap your brain around, is recognizing these paradoxes. Lutherans are great at paradox. We love paradox. And the paradox of mental illness is what you're feeling and what your mind is taking in and how you're experiencing the world is not what it really is. What it really is what God declares to you in His Word. And those contradictions are quite vivid when it comes to any form of mental illness.
We have only a minute before our first break, and we need to broach the subject, and you deal with it extensively in your book, medication. It's also going to be asserted, look, if you're a Christian, you may get depressed, but pills aren't the answer, prayer, something like that. Medication, again, would be resorting to some sort of man-made solution to the problem. With 1 minute, begin a response.
I think that a big part of the difficulty that Christians have with antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, and all of these is the fact that they are incredibly commercialized in our culture. They are tremendously popular. They make lots and lots of money for pharmaceutical companies. And so it's very easy for the Christian, really for anyone, to look at that and just sort of fundamentally believe that this must be a trumped up kind of marketing hype that's made something that it isn't really, that isn't really there. The problem is that there is real physiological chemical evidence of what's going on in your brain, and those are the things that we as Christians need to kind of understand. I call it a two kingdom question, really.
All right, we'll come back and we'll talk about that very question, medication for depression, in light of the two kingdoms, in light of these two different realms that the Christian stands in simultaneously. One of them may be a world of hospitals, doctors, therapy, and medication. The other one, God's all-sufficient help in Jesus Christ, the means of grace provided by His church. But the two do not necessarily conflict with one another. And of course, the Christian is not given the luxury of living in one or the other, but in both at the same time, which is sometimes an uncomfortable, intense situation. When we come back, we'll find out why Pastor Peppercorn, when faced with his own depression and with the prospect of a medication or medications that could really help, didn't take his pills when the doctor told him to. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out, get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar too. Go to theclcc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Well, here's an email forwarded to us by Chuck in Middleville, Michigan, sending it to 10 of his friends. He says, check out the new Issues Etc. internet radio program's promotional video. He provides a link to that promotional video to 10 of his friends. He let us know, guess what, his name is registered for a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. We'll have that drawing late in the month of August. And one of our listeners who has sent a similar email to 10 of his friends will get that gift certificate late in August. Now, you can do it as well. It's very simple. The video can be found at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote. You'll find there the link to that video. All you got to do is email that link to 10 of your friends. Email us as well, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll enter your name for that drawing for the $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House, and your name may be drawn. Issuesetc.org, click promote. You'll find the video, email it to 10 of your friends, and let us know that you did. Help us promote Issues, etc. We're talking about Christians and depression, debunking the super Christian myth with Pastor Todd Peppercorn. Now, when you were first prescribed medication, after your depression was diagnosed, if I remember reading the story correctly, you didn't take your medication right away, did you?
I didn't. It scared me to death. I looked at this pill every morning, I think, for about 2 weeks. And I looked at this pill as a sign that I was a failure, that not only was I such a loser, I was such a weak person that I had to resort to taking a pill that would fix my mind. And I think that that is very, very common with people who struggle with depression. I know of at least half a dozen pastors that have gone through that same experience, and many never get over that threshold of believing that this pill is some sort of a, you know, mark of Cain or something like that, that you're going to take this pill and then all of a sudden everyone's going to know that you're a weak person and you're not capable of thinking properly or whatever. That was a very hard thing for me, and I think that's very true for most people.
There's some basic misconceptions about antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication. One of them, and I think it's so commonly held, is that the medication is somehow a happy pill, that it is it's an upper that makes you feel artificially better. I take that is not true. You've been taking this for a while. How does the medication function? How does it function in your body?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so you can take my description for what it's worth. But a big part of what's going on with depression is that your body is not getting enough what's called dopamine. And so most antidepressants today try to regulate the dopamine input in your body. That's the part that tries to work with the mental highs and lows. And so what most antidepressants try to do is they basically try to even things out so that while you may not have the kind of emotional highs, you're not going to have the emotional lows as much either. So, and that's the hard thing about taking an antidepressant is that it's very easy to take an antidepressant and just feel like you are slightly numb. But with time, with work with your doctor, you can find the right mixture that is going to maintain your equilibrium so that you're able to function on a daily basis. You're going to be able to interact with your family. You're going to be able to do your job, whatever it is. And you're not going to go into this pit all the time. But there's no question that's not an easy process, that takes time. And there are a lot of different competing approaches to how to go about and find the right medication.
This email from Tina in Racine, Wisconsin. As I was listening to the teaser question right before the break just now, one of the first things that came to my mind was how God uses pictures to reveal things about himself. Christ takes something outside of ourselves to work in us and give us life. Medication is much like that for mental illness. God works through the means of a little tablet to work in us and help get through our anxious and depressive behaviors and disorders. Just like you can't give yourself faith, but the Holy Spirit gives us faith through baptism, we can't fix our own mental disorders on our own, and we need the medication. It's a great picture. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's beautiful, and that's right on. And that's where this two kingdoms notion comes in, that Lutherans love to talk about word and sacrament. We love to talk about the means of grace and how God works through these things. But often we forget that that is how God works throughout the whole world vocationally. You know, what does this mean by meant by daily bread? And you go through this whole list of how God takes care of everything from weather, government, family, neighbors, friends. This is how we're fed. So it should not surprise us that He is going to use doctors, medications. He's going to use counselors and all kinds of different people to take care of us. That's a sign of God's mercy. That's not a sign of a weakness or a character fault or a faith fault on my part. And so I thank Tina very much for that picture. It's a very good one. It's one that I've used quite often in helping people to understand that this is just a pill. This isn't some sort of this isn't an identity marker. This doesn't make you into something. What makes you into something is that you're baptized. That's who you are. That is your identity. You're in Christ. And so God's going to use all of these things, doctors, butchers, baker, candlestick maker, whoever it may be, to serve His purpose of taking care of you. So often we overinvest into these things and make them into more than they really are. It's just a pill. It's just a pill.
Did your congregation, two final questions here, did your congregation mm-hmm. also have to overcome the kind of super Christian, in your case, super pastor myth when they discovered that you were struggling with this?
Yeah, that was a tough road for my congregation. I'm very blessed to have a faithful congregation that really takes taking care of their pastor very seriously. But a part of the difficulty was that I was pouring all of my energy into trying to take care of my congregation. And so I would do services on Sunday morning. I conduct Bible class, and so I would put every ounce of energy that I had into those 3 hours, and then I was done for 3 days. I would literally go into my room and basically stare at the wall for 3 days, trying to recover from this, and then I get up on Tuesday or Wednesday and start over. So from my congregation's point of view, and I again think that this is very common, people want to be well. And so you're going to put on a mask. You're going to put on this picture of being well. And so for my congregation, I'm talking about all of these problems and all of these difficulties that I'm having. And for many of them, quite honestly, they couldn't see it. Why? Because pastors always, or not always, but often, sort of have to put on a game face. They have to try and do the work that God has given them, regardless of how they feel. And I understand that, and there certainly is some truth to that. I think that's true for almost any vocation. You know, you got to get up and do your job, even if you don't feel like it. That's life. But for me, I was using that as a way of covering up the whole thing. And as a result, my family suffered, my congregation, it made it much harder for them to understand what was really going on. They wanted to help. They very much wanted to help. But it took us quite a few months to kind of figure out what that balance was and where this fit. And it actually took me physically leaving for a while. I went and stayed with some friends for 2 or 3 weeks. I left completely. I had was very blessed to have another pastor that lived in the area at the time that was able to simply cover for me, and that was hugely helpful for me to be able to just get away. I think that helped my congregation be able to sort of step back from the situation a little bit and say, yeah, we don't understand all this stuff, but we know we love our pastor, and we know this is what his doctor's saying. This is what our district president is telling us, because my district president was tremendously supportive. I was so blessed to have that. And that all kind of worked together to help me be able to heal. A lot of things coming together at once.
Finally, then, if you could put it in a sentence with only 30 seconds here, Todd, debunk the super Christian myth. What's the real Christian life like?
The Christian life is one under the cross. We live under the cross in suffering as a result of of sin here in this life. And that may manifest itself in physical illnesses. That means that Satan's going to be trying to attack us in all kinds of different ways. But the beauty of the Christian life is that no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm trying to do, no matter how I fail, that God is with me. I'm baptized. I'm his child. He will see me through it, no matter what might come.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Kenosha, Wisconsin, author of the new book, I highly recommend it, I Trust When Dark My Road, A Lutheran View of Depression. You can have it for free. That's one of the great things about this book. A free copy of I Trust When Dark My Road. Go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. It's a 100-page book, folks, and it's a marvelous chronicle of depression and God's answer for the Christian in the midst of struggles like this. Issuesetc.org. Todd, talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
Tomorrow we will conclude our series with Pastor Peppercorn talking about how to assist a loved one who suffers from depression. When we come back from this break, Cantor Philip Magnus will join us. We're going to talk about singing the Psalms, part two of a three-part daily series with him on worship. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 28th. This is Issues Etc. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
No infomercials for LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Not long ago, President Obama was meeting with the Pope in Rome, telling him he's going to reduce the number of abortions in America. The President said this knowing, at the very moment, his staff was pushing a government-controlled health care plan, mandating abortion coverage and funding it with your tax dollars. If the President gets his way, the number of abortions won't go down in America, they'll skyrocket. I mean no disrespect to the president, but my mom taught me if you intentionally say something you know isn't true at the time, it's lying. Sadly, we've consistently seen these non-truths coming from the president when it comes to protecting America's unborn babies and their mothers from abortion. I wonder if this was the change voters had in mind last November.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.